Now, Isaiah from 2,600 years ago speaks to today. That's part of the beauty of it. That's part of the genius of it. He just says it in an economy of words. The world is a dark place. See? And the bishop was right about that. See? It was a dark place that night a long time ago when this couple, this ne'er-do-well couple, who didn't have any reservation at the Holiday Inn, showed up in town and decided that this is the only place we're going to be able to hang our hat to have this kid. See, that's just the blunt truth of it. And, if darkness is, we're afraid of the dark because we don't know where we're going, or you even can't even see where you actually are. Yeah, you see, that speaks to that. It speaks to that in a great way. Now, against that, we have two stories, one from Luke and one from Matthew, that have created all that we believe about Christmas. Hey, we have Jim's wonderful nativity scene over here. See, that's the manger, straw. You know, we got a couple of camels, we got the ox over here, you got the burrow, whatever, see. But it's artistic. There's nothing there you have to clean up, see. That's just the way it is. Okay? But superimposed upon that is the magic of Christmas, see. And that is that there was a heavenly host, that there were angels, all kinds of angels. And they were on golden wings, and there was a light, and a light pierced the darkness. And there was this angelic chorus proclaiming, "Glory be to God on high." And there were voices of angels. And the voices said something to shepherds. See? And they all came. And the world was quiet and still, and everything was beautiful. And it was magical. Okay? Now, isn't it interesting? When the angel came to Mary, what was the first thing he said to her? "Fear not, for behold." Oh, well, there's a good way to start the salutation. Fear not. Okay. What happened when the angel comes to the shepherds out minding her flock? What's the first thing the angels say? "Fear not. See? For unto you is born this day in the city of David." See? The long-expected one has come. Now, of course, the imagery that stuck is Luke and Matthew. Why? Because that's what we want. That's the marvel of it. That's the magic of it. That's the transforming miracle of Christmas, that part of it. But Isaiah, you see, in his prophecy, the people who walked in darkness had what happened? Well, a great light shone upon them. And the darkness goes away. The fear goes away. The hopes are fulfilled. Love is born. Fulfillment of prophecy takes place. Things are transformed. Now, as I've said to you before on different occasions, let's put ourselves in that moment in history. Can I tell you here with any kind of certainty what actually happened that night? No, because the oldest writings in the New Testament are by Paul. And does Paul say that there's anything miraculous that took place on Christmas night? No. Did he talk about angelic chorus or great light or a star being there that wasn't there before? Or strange kings coming from Persia to give gifts to an even stranger king? No. Doesn't say anything about that at all. Mark, the oldest gospel, doesn't say a word about Jesus' birth. He's already, a kid when he starts the story. John, he gives this mysterious account that, there was the Word. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's like some sort of, chorus from the dark speaking to us, this great theological statement. God who can create by word gives us the word. Oh. But he doesn't say anything about what Luke and Matthew talk about. So I don't know. If we were there, what would we have heard? What would we have seen? What would we have done? I don't know. But let's just be really, for the sake of argument, dark about it for a minute. Brutally honest about it. Say what we actually know about it. You may not have seen anything. There may not have been any of the fall to all or any of the great poetry of the moment that took place at all. Okay. Let's just be cynical about it. It's a kid being born from a family that doesn't have much going for it. You slap him on his backside, he screams bloody murder, he's born in the dark, it's cold, and, well, that's the way we all kind of came into this world. So there's nothing extraordinary about that one way or the other, or it's the most extraordinary thing that ever happened. So I offer you the only answer I have. What really happened? Well, this I know. Irrespective if there was a host, an angelic chorus, irrespective if there were wise men, magi, irrespective of the fact that there were shepherds and angels and archangels and a host of heaven and great, you know, Beethoven wrote the music for it. Irrespective, if none of that ever happened, something happened that never happened before and has never happened since. Somebody was born and the world was transformed. That is the truth. Nothing has generated more artistic expression. Nothing has spun off more stories. Nothing has, you know, fostered great novels from everybody from Dostoevsky to Dickens than the birth of this child, this nobody kid. Now, how marvelous is that? Nothing has given birth to more great art, more stories, more things that we hold dear. See, in a way, there is that sense of hope in all of this that's a part of who and what we are. See? Is there a Santa Claus? Well, sure there is. It's just how much you want there to be a Santa Claus. Okay. Is this true? Well, of course it's true. Because the world was changed. Why? Because we wanted the world to be changed. And it is changed. Even though there's still darkness. There still is a light. Okay. So what do I offer you then? I offer you Adeste Fidelis. Come and see. Okay. Now, what does that mean? Probably the greatest of all Christmas carols. Okay. And you'll sing it in here when you start Lessons and Carols on Thursday night on Christmas Eve. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Say, come to what? Well, come and see the newborn king. Now, for those of you who weren't here last week, I talked about situations in life where you have a choice of staying put and being perfectly happy or getting up and moving and finding out what things are actually all about. And I used that story about how I went to dinner one time at the Baron's house and his wife said, well, as nice as this is, I'll never know what the world is like unless I get up and I go look. Okay. And in that, as I told you last week, she said nothing and she said everything. Because I say the same thing to you in Adeste Fidelis. Unless you get up and look for Christ, you're never going to find him. Unless you get up and look for the magic and the wonder and the beauty and the light of Christmas, you're never going to find it. it just doesn't vicariously happen. What is Jesus always saying? To his disciples, he says what? Follow me. Get up and follow me. And he never says anything under false pretenses. You're going to have a miserable run if you follow me, because you're going to become unpopular. You might even get yourself hung up on a cross. But as a payoff for that, I'm going to give you the gift that you really want: immortality and the peace that surpasses all understanding. But you got to look. You got to take the trip. It's a Deste Fidelis. Oh, come all ye faithful. You know, what is it always saying here? Now, he's saying to people, knock on a door and I'll open it for you. Seek and you'll find. Okay. Find what? Well, you'll find all those gifts that are part of this season. Pray and I will be with you. But how are you ever going to know that's going to happen? Well, you have to pray. See? If you don't do it, you're never going to know. See? What makes this season so marvelous is that all the promises, all the glamour, all the magic, all the things we want in our hearts are there if you want to make them real. If you want to really go look for them, if you really want to follow. And if you do, then the gifts surpass all the things that you can ask for. Why is Christmas so magical? Why does it transform the world for a brief period of time? Because it's what we all really want. It's what we all in our heart of hearts want to believe is actually true. And what I'm saying to you, it is true. In as much as you want to make it true. As much of the beauty and the magic and the mystery and the marvel and the miracle of Christmas as you want, go look for it. Bring it into your heart. Come and see. It's there. The only way you find the truth is to go look for it. I can't offer you any more than that. And that's not the dark side of Christmas. There is a light. It has pierced the darkness. And there will be no more darkness anymore. Merry Christmas. Almighty God, we celebrate the birth of your Son, and we come sometimes skeptical, but we always come with hope and with joy in our hearts. Help us to be foolish enough, hopeful enough, naive enough, faithful enough to take some risks to find you, to answer the voice that says, follow me, to pray for the one who said, if you pray in my name, I will be with you, to truly find all those gifts that surpass our understanding. Help us, therefore, to celebrate the miracle, the marvel, and all the great blessings of this season. Help us to celebrate them independently and collectively. Help us, therefore, to go forth in peace and in joy and celebrate your life now and forevermore. Amen.